Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody, where we have open lines right now at 1-800-677-9377. Again, that's 1-800-677-9377. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis with an invitation to keep listening to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. How the Word of God can help you experience true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or if there's some issue you're facing that you'd like to talk about, call now. 1-800-677-9377, where the lines are indeed wide open. 1-800-677-9377. It's basic gospel. Hear it. Believe it. Live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Basic gospel is new covenant. When Jesus died, he ushered in a new covenant, and this new covenant is the covenant of grace, and it's the covenant that governs our relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. Paul declared himself to be a new covenant believer. Everywhere he went, he ministered the new covenant into the lives of his listeners, and we need to come to grips with what this new covenant is all about. So this week we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about the new covenant, what it means to each of us as believers in Christ. But the first thing that we have to talk about is, when was this new covenant first talked about, and when did it go into effect? And Richard, you've done a lot of study on the new covenant, kind of looked at it from beginning to end. When was the first time this new covenant was ever really talked about as far as the people of Israel were concerned?
Well, it was like 600 years before Jesus showed up. God told Jeremiah, look, things are going to change. Jeremiah 31. God said, look, I'm going to do something with me, because obviously the people are not following the covenant I gave them. So I'm going to make a new covenant with you. And so, you know, looking at it from Jeremiah's point of view, Jeremiah goes, oh, new covenant. Well, he's looking at a range of mountains that's 10,000 miles away and doesn't realize there's a whole bunch of things that have to happen. And 600 years later, Jesus shows up. And when he died, that's when that covenant went into effect.
Absolutely.
And God said, look, 600 years from now, you don't know it's 600 years, but this is what I'm going to do. And he did it.
Yeah. He said to Jeremiah, the time is coming when I am going to make a new covenant with the people of Israel, not like the old. So he was bringing in something radically different, radically new in all respects. And Jesus shows up, like you said, some 600 years later, before his death. He gathers his disciples and he raises the cup. And he says, this is the blood of the new covenant. It was about to be ratified. And this will, this covenant, was different from the old covenant, the very nature of it. The old covenant was more of a contract between God and the people of Israel. This new covenant is really a will. So if you know, I have assets and I want to make a decision on how those are going to be distributed upon my death, I'll go to an attorney and I will draw up a will. That is my last will and testament. And then when I die, that will go into effect. And this new covenant is like that. Mm-hmm. And that's why the writer of Hebrews says, in the case of a will, it is necessary to prove the death of the one who made it, because a will is in force only when somebody has died. It never takes effect while the one who made it is living. So who made this new covenant? God the Father made the new covenant. When did it go into effect? The day Jesus Christ died. So that is the place of change. Before that death, the world, or the nation of Israel, was operating under the old covenant, the Mosaic covenant. At the death of Christ, that old covenant ended, and a new covenant was ratified and ushered in. And this new covenant is what now governs our relationship with Jesus Christ. So when did it go in effect? The moment Jesus died. And it is God's will for our lives. It is his declaration of provisions and promises that will enable us to experience life and experience life abundantly.
And that's basic gospel. That's what
you hear
each day on this particular program, and we want to hear from you. Want you to be a part of the program at 1-800-677-9377. Calls beginning to come in, but still plenty of room for you to come on in and be a part of it at 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Staten Island and talk with Patty listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Patty.
Hi. Hello.
Welcome. Nice to have you on the broadcast today. We're doing wonderfully well. How about you?
I'm doing great, praise God. I was just wondering, there's a verse in the Bible that says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just.
Love that passage. I'm hoping I'm fitting into that category of the just. So all of that wealth will be laid up for me. But what he's talking about there is the people of God. Those are the ones that are declared to be just in God's sight, not because of anything that they've done, but because of the work of Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the just and the justifier. So when we come to faith in him and we're made alive, then we are declared to be righteous in his sight. So we are declared to be just in his sight. And it says to all those who belong to God, who are the people of God, then they are going to inherit the earth. That is there. So, you know, the wicked may have all of these possessions and all of these things, but they're not going to be able to take all that with them. This earth really is going to ultimately belong to Jesus Christ and all those who belong to him.
So it doesn't mean that we're going to be getting anything, right? It just means that the wealth, the wicked aren't going to take theirs with them.
Well, what it means, Patty, I mean, we have an eternal inheritance in Christ, and that's part of this.
It's not that I want anything. It's just that I thought I was, what I had planned on was being a giver, and not that I'm wicked, but just being a giver, and that's what God wants me to be, is to be a giver.
Yeah, absolutely. And Patty, part of the reason for a passage like that is to help us as believers, to keep us kind of focused and anchored. Sometimes things don't go so well, and then we look out there and we see, you know, all these folks, the atheists and the folks who put their fist up to God and say, you know, I don't want anything to do with you. And it seems like all kinds of material blessings just get poured out on them. And, you know, you look and you can get discouraged and you can say, Lord, why aren't you blessing me like that? And then you can even come to a point and say, God, just forget it. I'm going to go the way of the world. And so these promises keep us anchored. And that's the purpose of this particular passage that you read, Patty, to keep us anchored, to keep us focused on what we truly have in Christ, because there is going to be a day when the world will see us and they will see us as we really are. They don't see us as we are right now, but the world will see us and they will recognize that the glory that we have because we truly are children of the King.
Okay.
Well, Patty, thanks for your call today. I certainly hope that helps. Let me put you on hold. We have a wonderful resource that we would like to put in your hands. It's called The Basic Gospel Journey. It really outlines...
I don't have any money now.
You don't have to have any money. We're just going to send it to you. just to say thanks, okay? You hold on, okay?
Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
You know, for many years, this ministry has been supported through the prayers and gifts of our people, on the other hand, and today is no different. And so we seek the support of our listeners. It's vital if we're going to remain on the air. And for those of you who are listening and are able to make a gift, go to basicgospel.net and make your most generous gift. Again, that's basicgospel.net, or you can phone 1-800-727-2828 and use your credit or debit card. And we're going to send you a copy of this Basic Gospel Journey for your gift of any amount right now to Basic Gospel. Again, 1-800-727-2828 or basicgospel.net.
Yes, indeed. And that resource is a CD. And it really outlines what this new covenant is. And the three of us had the opportunity to sit down and talk through the new covenant over several days. We really hit the highlights, and I think it is one of the most significant resources that we have, because there's so many questions out there. You know, what about the law? Are we supposed to live up to those righteous requirements of the law? And, you know, is God going to condemn me because I don't keep the Sabbath holy? I go to church on Sunday. And, you know, all these other questions that are out there. Well, that's all old covenant stuff. Jesus Christ fulfilled that at his death, and now he's ushered in a new covenant. And he is the priest of this new covenant, not the Levites, but Jesus Christ himself. And where there's a change of the priesthood, there's a change of the law. And God has written his laws of faith, hope, and love on our hearts. And that's, we have that opportunity to live that out as we abide and trust and depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So it truly is the basic message. It's what's of most importance to God, and we need to realize that. In this particular series, it is a very important resource, and we want to get it into your hands. And it's our way of saying thanks to you for a gift of any amount this month, the Basic Gospel.
Absolutely. The Basic Gospel Journey. Use for a gift of any amount. Go to basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828.
Well, thanks, Bob. Right now, open lines 1-800-677-9377. 1-800-677-9377. Well, let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk with Mary. Hi, Mary.
Hello.
Welcome.
How are you doing?
Just doing well. Thank you.
Okay. My question is, what does Christian, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, fervor? Have you ever heard of it?
I have. I have indeed.
What does it mean?
Well, fervor is a word that shows kind of an enthusiasm, an intensity, something along those lines.
Passion.
Yes. That's what you would think of when you hear the word fervor. You're passionate about something. And the way you keep that, quote, Christian passion, Christian fervor, is to keep your eyes on Jesus and to keep your eyes on the grace of God. So many folks come to Jesus, they get so excited about this new life that they have in Christ. And then over time, that excitement starts to wane, that enthusiasm starts to diminish, and they come to a point and they just feel like they've lost the joy of their salvation. And the reason that happens, Mary, is because they get back into old covenant thinking. They look at the Christian life as resting on their shoulders. It's something that they have to do, and it becomes a drudgery. And so they lose that passion. Well, how do you get it back? Well, move away from the old back to the new and look at what Christ Jesus has accomplished in this new covenant, and the fact that Christ Jesus is alive living in us, or living in a particular person. And as we abide in him, then we see his life being lived out in us, and that joy is returned. So if you want to experience joy in the Christian life, if you want to experience passion, then you have to get your eyes off the old and off of you and onto the new and onto Jesus Christ. It's as simple as that, Mary.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I've got it. I don't get too down, but I was down about 2 weeks ago. But I did. I said, Lord, help me and show me. And I tried to just be, I guess the word is upbeat.
Yes.
So, but I get kind of melancholy. Is that all right with Christ?
Well, absolutely. Sure. Just wants you to be you. I mean, we all have different personalities. There's the happy-go-lucky types. There's the leader, hard-nosed types. There's the melancholy types. I mean, there's different types of personalities, and God works through all of us, through those personalities. So we don't have to try to be something different than what we are. Just be who you are and rejoice in that.
Yeah, there's something important that you might be missing. The word like fervor is not based on your emotional state at the time. It's based far more on a spiritual assurance that you have that you really are a child of God, that you cannot be taken away from him, that he is yours and you belong to him. And then regardless of the stuff that's going on in your life and whether you feel happy or sad about it, you have that assurance, and therefore it literally propels you forward.
Assurance that I'm a child of God.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, Mary, thanks for your call today. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this Basic Gospel Journey CD, okay? Thanks for your call today.
I ordered it. I've listened to the second tape or second CD.
Well, wonderful.
Well, yeah.
Well, that's excellent.
I'm trying to get into it.
Excellent. Well, thanks for your call today, Mary. We sure appreciate it.
But she missed her chance to hit you up for something else.
Well, that's right. That's right. Well, let's go to Charlestown, Indiana, and talk with Stephanie. Hi, Stephanie.
Hello. Yeah, there we are.
Hey, Stephanie. Yes.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. I have a question on my mind. It's been bothering me for a long time, and I can't seem to really get any answer of it. Why is it that we don't see the Ten Commandments posted in our churches anymore?
Well, Stephanie, there could be several reasons for that. I mean, you know, why churches do what they do, that's up to their leadership and that sort of thing. But as far as the Ten Commandments are concerned, those Ten Commandments really constitute an agreement, an arrangement that God made with the people of Israel. It was specific to the Jewish people. It was given to them at Mount Sinai after their release from Egyptian control, and it was basically their Bill of Rights, their constitution. It was the agreement that governed them as a nation. So it had purposes for the people of Israel. It also had spiritual purposes that apply to us. All of us were sinners. We were judged to be sinners, condemned by the law. Jesus came and he stepped in our shoes and he took the punishment that we justly deserved. And when he died, as Paul said, that was the end of the law. Jesus Christ is the end of the law. Now we live in a new covenant. And it's this new covenant that governs us today, that governs our relationship, directs our relationship with God the Father through faith in Jesus Christ the Son. So I think we need to recognize the purpose of the old and then really embrace this new covenant that we have with Jesus Christ. Does that make sense to you, Stephanie?
Yeah, somewhat. But I guess I'm just wondering, we are still supposed to live by the Ten Commandments, correct?
Well, Stephanie, let me answer it this way. If you're a child of God, and I'm assuming that you've come to faith in Jesus Christ, is that right?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Now, here's the deal, and it's pretty amazing. I mean, this is may just blow your mind, and I hope that it does. When you came to Christ, Stephanie, something incredible happened to you. Something incredible inside happened to you. You were born again of the Spirit. And so you became a new creature in Christ, one that God called a child of God. So something happened to you inside. You were born again. And then something even more amazing happened. God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, sent the Holy Spirit to take up residence in you. So God lives in you by virtue of the Holy Spirit. So your human spirit was born again. It was joined by God's Holy Spirit, and that was sealed. So you are this new creature in Christ. God's Spirit lives inside of you. You following me?
I I do.
So now you're to be led internally by God's Spirit, not externally by laws written on stones. So you have the Holy Spirit to lead you from within. Now, here's the big difference. The Ten Commandments basically told you what you shouldn't do. Those Ten Commandments never told you what you ought to do.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They were summed up in the Great Commands, you're to love God and you're to love your neighbor, but you didn't have the wherewithal to carry that out. Now you have the Spirit of God living in you, and you can actually love God and love others as Christ has loved you. And so the Spirit of God, for example, teaches you how to love your husband if you're married. The Spirit of God teaches you how to parent your children. The Spirit of God teaches you how to reach out to your neighbor. The law simply said, don't steal from your neighbor. Don't covet your neighbor's things. But it never really went and said, okay, here's what it looks like to love your neighbor and to serve your neighbor. The Spirit of God is the one who teaches you how to do that. So you're to be led from within, not without. That's all this new covenant that we're talking about. The first provision of that new covenant is this, that God is going to write his laws in your minds and to write them on your hearts. And that's what he's done by sending God's Spirit to take up residence in you. So you have something far greater, far better, far superior living inside of you than commandments written on stone.
All right. Well, thanks, because you are the first one that I could ever get to actually explain it to me, and I understand everything that you're talking about because I have all that in my life. So I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Well, you are welcome, Stephanie. Thanks for your call. Great question today. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this CD, The Basic Gospel Journey, okay? You hang on.
Okay.
And we'll be giving that information again in just a moment. But a quick question from Diane as we continue and close the broadcast. Will all Christians be taken in the rapture?
When Christ comes to get us, we're all going to be taken. That's just a promise. That's just a guarantee. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about that. Folks get all worried about, you know, what happens to those who have already died? Where are they? We get that question on the broadcast a lot. You know, what happened to Uncle Billy? You know, we saw him in the casket. We saw the body laying there. But where did Billy go? Well, if he knew Jesus, he went to be with the Lord. Well, one day the Lord's going to come back. Well, Billy's going to come back with him. And all of those of us who remain, we're going to rise up and meet them in the air, and we're going to come down together, and we're going to, you know, have this kingdom of God established and set up. And so, yes, when Jesus returns, all of us who are here, we're going to be caught up with him.
Absolutely. Diane, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. Friends, you know, the only way that Basic Gospel can remain on the air is through your generous support. Your gifts make it possible for us to be here every day ministering the truth of God's Word in the hearts and lives of countless people across North America and around the world, and we ask your support at this time. Please join the partnership with a generous gift to keep Basic Gospel coming. Simply go online to basicgospel.net or phone your gift to us at 1-800-727-2828. And to extend our appreciation for your gift, we're going to send you the CD we've been talking about called The Basic Gospel Journey. Again, our website is basicgospel.net, or you can use your credit or debit card when you call 1-800-727-2828. Either way is a good way to support the good news of Basic Gospel every day. When you go online, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. Again, that's Basic Gospel RDO. We'd like you to join our email list as well. At basicgospel.net, click subscribe in the upper menu to join. You'll get late news and information about the ministry, including upcoming events. Come October, you're going to want to be on that list to receive day-by-day email support for our 23-day study through Revelation. That's subscribe at basicgospel.net. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry staff, Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel.